What is up, motherflockers? It's your boy Matt with another motherflocking football podcast by the fans, for the fans. With me, as always, I got my number four man, Ray Ray. How you doing tonight, Ray?
Hey, what's up, flockers? And wait, hold on. Yup, it's recording. We're good. Carry on.
Thank God for that. We did not come to you last week because we had an hour and a half podcast that someone did not record, but I will not name names. There's only three of us on the pod, but the guy who was not responsible is my next friend on the podcast, Guy Weaver. How are you doing, Guy?
A little under the weather, but ready to talk some football. Game starts in less than 24 hours as of time of recording. Ready to watch some Packers go down to the ground against the Bears. Kick off the season. Let's do the damn thing.
Hell yeah. I'm in. Can't wait for that first game. And if you're not, you know, dead by tomorrow because you're feeling so sick right now, I may just come over to your house or have you come over to my house since I might not be allowed over your house anymore to watch the game.
You're still welcome. I'll just have to get you off the couch. Here's a funny story for the flock. So, fantasy football draft last weekend, and Mr. Matt comes over to the house to do the draft and proceeds to drink a little, falls asleep on the couch. Now it comes time to go home. I gotta wake Matt up, so I'm shaking Matt on the couch. I'm like, Matt, it's time to go home. The only response I can get out of Matt is a shitting and grin with his eyes closed, his thumb up in the air, and says, "Put me in, coach. I'm ready."
And I was ready. I am an insanely heavy sleeper, as my wife knows. If I fall asleep on the couch, she just leaves me there until I wake up on my own. She knows better. You don't poke the bear.
That's your couch, not my couch.
Valid point. All right. So we're going to go over the NFL awards for the season. But you know what? There's hundreds of football podcasts out there. You guys really don't give a shit if we think Mahomes or Wentz or Trubisky's going to win the MVP this year. You can get that shit anywhere. This is for the fan. This is by the fan. We're going to spice up the awards. So, Ray, which player this year or team do you think is going to have the best touchdown dance?
Well, it's great that you mentioned team because I actually think that the best TD dance of the year is going to be the Chicago Bears defense. Last year, they had a Motown dance, the orchestra, I can't speak, and calisthenics led by Eddie Jackson. So Chicago Bears are going to win it this year.
Guy, who do you think it is?
I want to see the white boy. I want to see Travis Kelce breaking it down some more. I think Travis Kelce breaks out some new touchdown moves. And within one of the 12 or 13 that he gets, I think we're going to get the gem of the year.
Oh, I just think that we're going to have a newly energized Antonio Brown. Wow. And when he gets one of his four touchdowns of the season, I think he is going to have the equipment guy wheel out 10-year-old helmets to hand out to every fan in the single end zone and sign them.
That would be epic. Also, Antonio Brown wasn't Dancing with the Stars, so he has that going for him.
Yeah, he does have those backup moves. And, Ray, I'm glad to know what Hillary makes you watch at night. That's kind of fascinating.
Very revealing.
Hopefully she doesn't, also make you watch Oz, because our next topic is, which player is most likely to go to prison this year?
Oh, Lord.
Come on, we going dark here, Guy. Who you got?
Oh, Lord. I mean, just because it's the first name that popped in my head, Vontaze Perfect. I'm sure he's going to go around one of these times and hit somebody the wrong way, snap a neck, brag about it. And, we'll hear about him on the news. He's just a dirty player. He's the first one that pops in my head. Right?
The person I'm thinking of, I hope it doesn't happen because that means somebody innocent could get hurt, but Tyreek Hill's a piece of shit and he's probably the most likely to go to prison. So there you got it, folks.
Ooh. I was originally going to go with Jameis. That was going to be my pick, but you know what? I am going with Jared Goff.
What? Breaking. We're going to steal someone's surfboard?
Breaking news today. Jared Goff signed a $114 million guaranteed contract, and I think after he starts to suck in the first three, four games, Sean McVay is going to find a way to frame Jared Goff for murder to get out of that horrible contract that they just signed him to.
I was good. You know, what's funny is I was actually thinking Zeke, mainly because now he's got all that money. He's going to be at a new nightclub every single night just throwing down money. And, I mean, unless Jerry Jones is going to hire an entire security team like he did with Dez Bryant, Zeke could get himself in trouble.
He has the entire starting offensive line from the 1996 champion Dallas Cowboys as his protector right now.
Oh, man. I just can't wait to see him get handcuffed in a mid-drift.
Hold up. What is the most embarrassing thing you could be handcuffed in? Is it a mid-drift?
Only if he's – you know what would be awesome? Nope. Is if he was in a mid-drift and he had one of those toboggan hats, because then he'd really look like an Ewok.
I don't know. Imagine Cam Newton got the scarf, the hat, the overalls.
All right, you know what? Since you brought that up, I'm going to go a little off script here.
That's fine.
The two things that annoy me the most, and I'm not a fashion guy, maybe stretch to the imagination. The two things in the NFL that bother me the most are Zeke Elliott's sorry-ass gay midriffs and Cam Newton's Medea scarf. Who, like, for the sake of our segment, who wore it better? And by better, I mean fucking worse. Which one's worse?
When did you see the video of Cam Newton walking out with a boot? He reminded me of, like, a scene of Medea when Medea walks out of prison after beating the elder's ass at the church. Like, that's what that reminded me of.
My favorite meme I've seen lately is those it's the SpongeBob eye to my head out, and it was department store, sorry sir, we only sell men's clothes here. Cam Newton eyed him a head out.
You know what, I'll be honest with you, I was in Louisville over the long weekend for my dad's 60th, and I was wearing a pretty good Cam Newton hat for it, so I don't know, I can see where he's coming from.
Jeez,
it looked good, guys. I was going to text it to you, but I'm afraid of what you would do with it if I did.
Oh, I can't wait to find a way to get Jody to send this to me.
I just send it to you. You soon. All right. Speaking of quarterbacks, who do you think is going to be the first quarterback benched, Ray?
Man, this was actually a tough one. There's a couple of them, but I think Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's going to be magic for a couple of games, and then he's going to have a horrible next two games, and the Dolphins are going to want to see what Josh Rosen can do before they have to decide to draft a quarterback.
I'm going to go Marcus Mariota bench before the first half of the first game is over against Cleveland. They're going to bring in Tannehill. I don't see Mariota making it past the first half. He's looked absolutely horrible throughout the preseason. I think that's exactly how he's going to look week one. Just lost holding the ball, probably at halftime looking at like a 2-for-10 passing completion rate. And they're going to bring in Tannehill.
You know, if Nathan Peterman wasn't on IR, I would have gone Derek Carr because we know how much Gruden loves Peterman. And I don't know if I'm going to count this as a benching, but I think the first backup quarterback to take over a starting job is going to be Dwayne Haskins of the Redskins, because Trent Williams is most likely not playing on Sunday, and they are going up of a defensive line with Brandon Graham, Malik Jackson, Fletcher Cox, and Derek Barnett.
Well, you just chose this answer to flex the Eagles, man.
Dude, it's nasty defensive line.
It is a nasty defensive line, but you were like, how can I flex the Eagles? Let me just throw in Dwayne Haskins. I got you. I respect it.
It's fine.
I respect the game.
Don't hate the player, hate the game. We good with it?
Who's let's ask this one. Who's the quarterback most likely to get traded before the trade deadline?
Ooh. Do you have one in mind?
I'll start. I'm gonna say Teddy Bridgewater. I'm gonna say that Hill has shown enough in New Orleans that Bridgewater's extra bait. And I think that he gets a starting chance.
Mm. I think Josh Allen gets traded again.
What?
Look, Josh Rosen. Josh Rosen.
Oh, okay. I was about to say Josh Allen.
Look, man, two guys named Josh were both taken. All right, in the same year. It throws me off a little bit. And neither of them have shown me anything, so I don't have to learn their names yet. When they're good, I'll learn their fucking name. I think Josh Rosen gets traded again. They're going to start Fitzpatrick anyway. They're going to pay him $5 million a year just to get his ass kicked back there. They're clearly tanking by trading away their left tackle. And if they're not going to start Rosen to see what he has, and they're going to go draft Tua next year, why the fuck not try to get a third-round pick for him? And you know what? Belichick's going to send a third rounder there and turn him into a 5-time Super Bowl winner.
I wouldn't be surprised to see, like, that's who I was thinking when I think Bridgewater. Like, I can see that being a Belichick-type pull that goes and grabs him to come in and be the successor for Brady potentially next year.
Ray, did you have one?
No, I liked guys. I think that's the most likely scenario.
Yeah, not the first time we've heard you like guys. We got it. Thanks. You told us today via text.
Guys.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
I'm going to start calling him Weaver. There we go. I'm going to start just call you Weaver.
All right. Ray, considering you have Emmanuel Sanders and Cortland Sutton on your team, I'm going to ask you this first. Which player is most likely to start a locker room fight first?
I see what you did there. I'm actually, if you watch Hard Knocks, it's been a very bad season, very boring season. But the one thing I picked of this is Jonathan Abrams. You kind of love him or you hate him. He's kind of a douche. He's at a restaurant with Derek Carr talking about Derek Carr money, how much money he makes, and all these super personal questions that make people feel awkward. And there's going to be one moment where he's going to run his mouth. Because all he did was run his mouth through the whole series. He's going to run his mouth and piss somebody off. They're going to knock him out.
Guy?
I don't have a good answer for this one. I think the first thing that pops in mind is Antonio Brown. And it might not necessarily be Antonio Brown in the fight. But he's already started in with the whole thing with the fines. Like, he's already creating the locker room dissension by running his mouth about the team. So I can see him winding up creating a fight in that locker room, whether it's just a season-long split in the locker room or an actual physical fight, probably with, you know, Derek Carr protecting his boyfriend. But I can see Antonio Brown still starting a fight in that locker room.
Why
are we both thinking Raiders?
Let's go 3-for-3 on it. If he doesn't go to prison, he's going to start a fight. I'm going with Vontae Perfect.
It'll probably be with Antonio Brown.
And it will, or Jonathan Abrams. Yeah, we're going to go 3-for-3. You know what? Gruden might start it. He might incite that riot.
Knock on wood if you hear me.
So you know what? If there's a locker room fight or sideline fight with the Raiders this year, I think we're all winners.
I'm especially a winner. Hopefully it happens at halftime of Monday night's game.
I mean, and if you imagine, look, Big Ben is not my favorite quarterback. I don't like someone with that many rape allegations. That's just me. But he's still a pretty damn good quarterback, 2 Super Bowl winner. If Antonio Brown would blow up on him on the sidelines, what the hell do you think Antonio Brown's going to do to Derek Carr on the sidelines?
Oh, yeah. It could be like T.O. and Jeff Garcia all over again.
Yeah, well, if it smells like a rat. Which player is most likely to be blackmailed with a sex tape?
Jimmy G.
Yep.
Out there in San Francisco.
Yep.
Jimmy G's probably already being blackmailed by a sex tape.
Yeah, I have to agree. That was my guy because he went out with that porn star. There's definitely a video of him taking a double-sided dildo at some point. So,
yeah.
Should be cheap.
Whoa. Hopefully kids aren't listening to this podcast, mother flockers. Mommy, what's a double-sided dildo? I know Jimmy G seems like the obvious answer because he publicly dated a porn star. But I'm telling you this. If a man is publicly dating a porn star, he ain't going to give a shit if a sex tape leaks or not. If he's full enough to do that in the public, he ain't worried about no porn tape coming out. I think he's going to be fine.
I don't know. He's in San Francisco. He might be.
Maybe. I think the most likely one, because I think he's already being blackmailed with a sex tape and trying to shut it down. I think it's Robert Kraft.
It's already, yeah. Oh, gosh. Oh. Yeah. I'm just laughing because he probably is already fighting one right now. Somebody got a hold of that video footage, and it's out there.
Oh, you know it's going to get surfaced. And you know what? If I had a sex tape of a man worth $7 billion, I would, you know, probably blackmail someone too. All right. Hey, Guy, who do you think the first coach fired is going to be?
Who do I think the first fire is going to be?
Mm-hmm. First coach fired.
First coach fired? I'm going to go with Kingsbury. I think the dog in the background agrees with me. I think that they're going to come out overwhelmed. I know it's preseason and, you know, you don't get to see his entire offense rolled out or anything like that, but they just look lost as a team to me. I think offensively very weak on the outside. And I don't think his coaching philosophy, his offense is going to fight in the NFL. I think Keim gets fired, and I think he goes right along with him.
Ray, who do you have?
Doug Marrone. I think all the defensive pieces, the talent they have on defense, I think it's bringing in Nick Foles this season, along with John D. Filippo. I don't think it's going to work out. I don't think Nick Foles is going to look good. And I think he'll get fired midseason.
That's not a bad one either. Can't say Gruden because he makes way too much damn money.
How much? Can't go. How much is that? I mean, is that fully guaranteed on a coach's contract?
I believe so. I really, really believe it is. I think for this one, I'm going to go with Matt Patricia of the Detroit Lions.
That's a good one.
I think he's just a really horrible coach in this day and age in a happy passing league. He's overly committing to the run and going all for it. And if it's not him, give me Pat Schumer of the Giants. I think they're neck and neck. I don't think the Giants are going to be very good this year. So, Ray. Who do you think the first player to cuss out the media will be?
Gosh.
Or so coach.
What?
Or coach. You can go either.
So coach wise, I'll go both real quick. Coach, Bill Belichick. Right? I think there might be some things that comes out and he gets a little upset. And he doesn't necessarily cuss him out, but he kind of mocks the question in his dry tone response. And Eric Reed, he's gotten really testy lately, especially after that hit he had. And he's usually getting the questions that he's being asked are consistently like hot topics, you know, questionable things. So, in the sense of what he's doing or saying, like he's always attacking or going at somebody, right? Or clarifying something. So, Eric Reed would be the player. I guess that would cuss out the media because they misinterpreted something he said or something along those lines.
And before Gruden went into broadcasting, he would have been the primary choice of cussing out the media by week one. But he went on this different spiel. So I'm going to go with his brother. His brother's going to wind up cussing out the media. Probably something to do with either a running back controversy or a quarterback controversy. But I think younger brother Jay Gruden is going to be the first coach to actually cuss out the media.
They're out
slow, and he's going to be asked a lot of questions.
You know what? I think the limelight is going to be a little bit too much for this next guy. This is the next dream team that's supposed to be absolutely amazing, and we don't know if they're going to succeed or not. I think Baker Mayfield eventually blows up and cusses out Colin Coward.
Oh, that's the best one, actually.
God, like, that needs to be a pay-per-view. That needs to be a pay-per-view. Like, I'll pay for that.
Well, just for the cuss out, I mean, if they were to actually, like, box or something, Baker would destroy him, right?
Yeah, he would absolutely destroy. Just put, like, a debate where they just go at each other. Collins kind of a douchebag in ways.
Like, I swear, I'd pay to watch just those two go at it in a roast style.
You know what my favorite thing? This is off, well, not off topic, but kind of.
That's fine. We do that here.
Colin Cowherd, he used to always have this big thing. I don't know if you remember. If he saw a QB with his hat on backward, he was like, yep, not my QB. He's not a franchise QB. You don't see Tom Brady putting his hat on backwards. And then, like, a year later, there was a picture came out with Tom Brady with his hat on backward. He has not said anything about that at all. The guy's just, gosh, he's just a douchebag. So I love how Baker's constantly going at him and then even going on the show to defend himself and then kind of mock him for his takes. I actually like seeing it. It's refreshing.
Got it. You hate Colin Cowherd. Well, you know what? You always pick your fights up, Ray. So if you want to blast him on social media with this podcast, get us some more listens, that'd be great. We do appreciate all of our listeners in the mother flocking, or I'm sorry, in the Flock NFL group. In fact, we appreciate the Flock NFL football group on Facebook so much. I am running a mother flocking survivor pool. So far, we are up to almost 100 entries in the Flock NFL football group, and you have until 12:30 on Sunday to do your entry, unless you're going Bears, Packers. And all you have to do is pick one team not to lose this weekend. And he can't pick that team again for the rest of the season. And up for a prize, I'm going to send out a 4 bourbon sampler pack. And you know what? I'm going to have to step up the prize just a little bit. And one of the bourbon samples included will be from a bottle valued at least $400. So whoever wins it this year, Ryan Brenner won it last year. And he drank these samples on our draft night because he took Mahomes and Rodgers in the first 5 picks. But whoever wins it this year is going to get a sample from a bourbon bottle worth $400 and some other random samplers set in. So make sure you're following us on the Flock NFL Facebook group and join the Mother Flocking Survivor Pool.
Good stuff. You guys don't really have to sign up, though. I mean, if you just want to save yourself the embarrassment of losing to me, just go ahead and just drop out now. It's fine.
Well, Ryan Brenner is the defending champ, so I think he's the one people might want to fear.
Look, in the history of the Survivor Pool, there's never been back-to-back winners.
Oh, kind of like defense, number one defenses?
Ooh, burn. I will say this, though. If I win, I'm just going to drink my own whiskey, and you two fucks owe me a beer.
Fair.
So, fair. There we go. All right, let's go down. Let's pick our division winners really quickly, do a little bit of speed round of it, and then let's pick our Super Bowl matchups as well as our wild card winners. Ray, you want to start us off? Who do you have winning the AFC East?
AFC East is going to be the New England Patriots, of course.
Guy?
It's going to be that team out of the Northeast, you know, the good old Pats. At least one more year.
It's fucking Tom Brady. That one's unanimous. All right, AFC North next, guys. You know what? Bright lights are going to be too big. I'm going to pick the Steelers to win this one. Ray?
Steelers.
Browns. I'll be the one to do it.
That's fine. AFC South up next. They just traded every draft pick they've ever had. Ray, are you picking them to win? Are you picking them to win the division?
Oh gosh. With Andrew Luck's injury, I'm not. Houston win the division.
Guy.
Houston's got to win it this year because they're not going to have a chance for many more with trading away the future.
Big Dick Nick, I got faith. He's won a Super Bowl before. They have an insanely talented defense. And the Texans actually have the 4th hardest schedule in the NFL this season. I think the Jags win that one. All right, up next is the AFC West. anyone ballsy enough not to go with the Chiefs?
Nah, it's the Chiefs.
Yeah, it's the Chiefs.
It was the Chargers until the Derwin James injury and the whole Melvin Gordon thing. And
I agree with you.
Trash.
Completely. Even with Melvin Gordon, I was willing to look at the Chargers, but Derwin James is probably their most valuable player on that team outside of Phillip Rivers. Yep. And I just don't think he's replaceable.
I think they're going to have a tougher time replacing Gordon than they think.
I don't know. Eckler was so good last year. I know he's probably not an every down back.
Well, I think they have the combination of Justin Jackson and Eckler. Also, I think Justin Jackson will eventually get more of the workload at some point in the season than Eckler.
I just think – I think Phillip Rivers is going to have to throw the ball 40, 50 times a game.
And he just might. They still have that nasty pass rush of Ingram and Bosa, though.
Absolutely.
So, all right. For my two wild card teams, though, I'm going to leave the Chargers out of the playoffs. Give me the Texans and give me the Browns.
I think the Chargers still make it. I'm still banking on the Chargers making the playoffs. They had a lot of close games last year, but they lost. I think it swings in their fashion this year, even with the losses of Derwin James and Melvin Gordon. Melvin Gordon, if he's not trading in the first couple weeks, he's not going to lose. I don't see him going the whole season losing paychecks, but I can see them making the playoffs. Second team that I've got, I've actually got the Colts. I know it's a big shocker, and they've been dropped down everybody's power rankings.
You do know, like, retired, large right?
deficits. Yeah. But I think Jacoby Brissett, and I think T.Y. Hilton comes out motivated and has a hell of a year. And I think the Colts, with the offensive weapons they have, I think they take that last Chargers, or they take that last playoff spot, the sixth seed.
Well, I'm going to go with the Browns and Chargers as the wild cards. I'm not going to pick the Jags. I learned my lesson last season.
Okay, so it looks like we all have the Browns, Texans, Chiefs, and Patriots making the playoffs.
Yep.
And a few different other wild cards. All right, and we were only unanimous on two. We were unanimous on the West and the East. And I think we'll be unanimous on this next one, NFC East team to make it. I'm going with the Philadelphia Eagles, and fuck you both if you don't.
I'm going to take the Eagles.
It's the Eagles' division to lose.
Okay. There we go. I knew I was doing a podcast with two smart men. Everyone took the right team. We're good with that. All right. NFC North.
You already know.
Guy, say it loud. You already
know. It is the Chicago Bears division. Bears.
The Packers will win, and you will find out why tomorrow night.
You want to put a bet on it?
No.
Packers starting out 0-1, and they'll be sitting one game outside the playoffs at the end of the season.
You know what? I think the Vikings are going to win the division.
I mean, I honestly, those three teams could win the division. So
anyone but the Lions could win that division.
Yeah, absolutely.
But
now that we've said that,
of course, this is that time of year where everyone makes their predictions and then they look back a year later and they're like, how the fuck did we pick the Bucks again to go to the playoffs? You know. All right. NFC. Speaking of the Bucks, anyone picking them to win the NFC South?
No, I got
a chance, but I think it's the Falcons.
It's the Falcons. I think it's their division to lose this year.
Yeah, you keep saying their division to lose, but they have the seventh hardest schedule in the NFL this year, and the Carolina Panthers only have the 16th. I think that hard schedule is going to do the Falcons in. I think that their defense isn't as good as it needs to be. They have an electric offense, but I don't think that defense is as good as it needs to be. I don't think Grady Jarrett, I think he was a signing by mistake. They overpaid him. They're not getting enough pressure on the ball. Deion Jones is sensational, but let's see how he recovers from that injury. Same thing with Keanu Neal.
Well, it's not just about Neal. I think both of them coming back is going to be a huge boost to that defense.
ACL and Achilles are not easy to come back from.
Yeah, no, they're not. But also,
they had
don't
a full
forget
season.
Desmond Trufant's a very good corner that does not get in the recognition. Not to mention Isaiah Oliver coming in as a rookie, see how he produces. And Campbell, the other outside linebacker, he's very fast, speedy like Deion Jones. So if they just their defense issue is going to be pass rush, and Grady Jarrett needs to step up, and Tack needs to get pass rush on the outside, because we all know Vic Beasley's not going to do it. So
got a hell of an offense though, man.
Yep, absolutely.
Against those defenses, they're going to toast them.
Yeah, and they just might. They do have an amazing offense. They did fire their OC, even though their offense was so electric last year. But if you look at their schedule, man, they got some dogs on it. They got the Vikings. They got the Eagles. Texans are good this year. They have the Rams, the Seahawks, obviously in their division of the Panthers and the Saints. They'll probably split there. The Jaguars. I mean, they have some legit teams that they're facing this year. And I just think it's going to be too much.
Okay.
Who are you taking?
So, that's fine.
You're taking the Panthers?
I'm taking the Panthers.
Bold call, Cotton.
I think it's the best defense in that division. I think Cam is healthy this year, and I think Run CMC is pretty damn good at football.
He's very good at football.
Who you got for the NFC West?
Oh, God. NFC West, I got to go Rams. I just can't. I went Niners last year, and it worked out pretty poorly for me. So, I'm going Rams, right?
I'm going to go with the Rams.
I'm going to say that I think the Jadeveon Clowney trade plays a huge role. I'm giving it to the Seahawks.
Oh, I mean, the Seahawks definitely have bolstered the team, helped out the team on defense. Tyler Lockett needs to step up. Chris Carson needs to be the bell cow. I could see it, but it's just hard to go against the Rams, man. And the 49ers are going to have a very good defense this year. It's all going to be what Jimmy G can do.
I mean, I like the Seahawks. I like Clowney. I don't think it puts them over the top. I think they're still having issues on their offensive line. I think they really only have one receiver in Lockett, and I think that their corners are still too young to be difference makers.
True.
So Clowney will help get to the quarterback, though, which will give them a little bit more grasp. So, all right, Guy, who's your two wild card teams?
Two wild card teams are the Rams, and I can't believe I'm actually going to say this, but the Vikings. I think the Vikings are the second wild card team. I almost went Vikings, Packers, but I truly believe I think the Packers are going to wind up being one game outside the playoffs.
So my wild card teams, the first one's gonna be the Vikings. I think the Vikings are gonna have a rebound year. And my second wild card team is going to be the Cowboys. I don't think they're going to be good enough just because of the coach and Dak, but that roster is one of the best in the league. Definitely a top five roster. It's just hard for me to see them not make the playoffs as a wild card.
I am going to go with the Atlanta Falcons. I don't think they win the division. I know I just ragged on them with that schedule, but I do think they still earn the wild card. I think we see serious regression from Drew Brees this year.
Yep.
Age caught up with him towards the end of last season. I think it catches up with him much earlier this season, and that's going to cost them. And as far as the Packers, Bears, Vikings, I think the division's too strong. I only see one team coming out of it because I think that they're going to beat the shit out of each other. So you know what? Fuck it. Our former colleague, our boy, love to hate you, Joseph Massey. How about them Cowboys? Just for you, I'm going to pick them, brother. I'm going to pick the Cowboys to make the playoffs and lose in wild card weekend. It's gonna happen.
If you could see my face right now, you would know what my reaction is to hearing you say what you just said.
I have no words.
I don't. Yeah. Woo. Okay.
Hey,
you know,
you said,
but if you really break it down, it's funny because when we went through the AFC, I think that we all kind of, I think there was a cream of the crop that kind of separates.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
If you really look at the NFC from top to bottom, you could make a case for almost every single team in the conference.
Oh yeah, NFC is the better conference. The NFC is going to be more. The division battles in the NFC are going to be better. Are going to be far better than in the AFC.
Okay. So having said that, who do you have for your Super Bowl prediction?
Hold on one sec. Hold on. You're absolutely right there, because there's only four teams that I can't really make a case for, and that's the Cardinals, the Bucks, the Lions, and the Giants. I can make a case for the Redskins.
The Redskins were good last year. Are one I would almost say are kind of. I would almost say
that's borderline.
Have a better chance than the Redskins, but like truthfully, there's only about four to five teams you could really say don't have a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with the AFC, you get to the Raiders and you get to the Bills. I can make a case for the Broncos, right? you get to the Titans, you just kind of start laughing. I mean, pretty much anything in the AFC East you start laughing at.
Yep.
It's just really bad.
It's definitely quite a split. Does that work against the NFC? Because all the teams should be pretty competitive, you think that they're going to have tougher games to play. They're going to wear down because of those types of physical games. Does that work against them when it comes time for the Super Bowl?
For me personally, I think it actually works for them. They're more battle-tested. They're playing tighter games. They're not going to open up with a round one wild card game against someone like the Titans. You know, It's not going to be something just random and weak making the playoffs. Every team that's going to earn a spot in the NFC deserves it to me. Whereas the AFC, honestly, shit.
I'd like to see an 8-8 team.
Yeah, you could see an 8-8 team in the AFC.
How about this?
Honestly, that's what I'm thinking with the Colts. I'm thinking the Colts make that last wild card at 8-8, 9-7.
How about this? Fuck it. I know we're off topic here, but I want to blow up the playoffs. I want four division winners to make it. From the AFC and NFC. And then wild card, if your record isn't over 500 and someone in the other conference is, I think they get your spot. I think if you went 8-8 or 7-9 and a wild card team in the NFC went 10-6 and they're out because of how tough the NFC is, I think they get your fucking playoff spot.
Then you just change the playoff structure like the NCAA March Madness.
Yeah, just go bracket it. That's fine.
We'd have better games because how many years are the wild card rounds? Almost, 70-60% of the games are blowouts?
How many years have we seen shitty-ass QBs start a playoff game? Blake Bortles or anyone for the Texans before Deshaun Watson.
Yep.
Or Tim Tebow.
Yep. Andy Dalton. Like, who was the Raiders backup when Carr got injured?
Was that Connor Cook who started the game?
Cook, and there was another one, too.
I don't want to watch a fucking playoff game with Connor Cook while someone like Drew Brees is sitting at home.
Yep, I agree.
So, all right, Guy, who do you have going to the Super Bowl, and who do you have winning it?
All right, so I've been torn between two new guys. I think the Patriots actually don't make it this year. Shocker, but I don't think the Patriots make it this year. I actually think it's going to be a new team. I can't pick the Chiefs because of everything I've said about Andy Reid. I just don't see him getting over the hump in the playoffs. I really think that it'll be either Houston or Cleveland. And I know there's plenty of people on this podcast and out there listening that are going to laugh at me for that. But I think both of those teams have, if they can put it together, I mean, it's always an if any given Sunday, but those two teams have enough pieces on defense and offense to make a solid push in playoffs, health permitting. So I think it comes down to them. I'm going to pick Cleveland on the NFC side. I'm going to pick the Falcons to make it back. I'm real torn on picking a winner. I think the Falcons can pull it off this year. But I think based on all the teams and what they have, I disagree with you completely on their defense. I think having Neal back and having Jones in the backfield, I think that makes a huge difference for him.
Dan Quinn's running the defense now, too.
That's another positive in that defense. And frankly, with Matt Ryan and Julio Jones being one of the best top two, if not top wide receiver QB duo in the league. I think this could be the Falcons' year. I think they finally win one. Matt Ryan deserves one. That's for damn sure. I'd like to see him win it. But I think Cleveland really surprises. I know we've seen the dream team scenarios before and how bad they fall on their face in the NFL. It's not like Major League Baseball where you just put a bunch of superstars together and actually have them win. But I think it works in Cleveland this year. I don't know about after, but I think it works in Cleveland this year.
Ray?
So in the AFC, I'm going to go against what I've been saying. I've thought more about it. I just really think the Chiefs are going to make the Super Bowl this year.
How bad did that hurt?
That hurt so fucking bad. Now, we haven't got to the winner yet. But,
do you have to burn your Von Miller jersey now? Like, what's
I mean, role? Like...
Well, actually, I'm going to have to burn it because it's like a Chinese knockoff, so I'm getting a new one. But
I think you just got yourself banned from Mile High.
No, yes, we got to be unbiased on the show, right? So the Chiefs, their offenses have so much firepower. Then you add in, I think the defense will be improved with bringing in Tyron Matthew and bringing in Frank Clark. Some of the draft picks they made, it's just, it's hard for me. We talk about, like, the AFC, nobody really jumps out. Like, Patriots are, like, the safe pick, but there's nothing about the Patriots, like, bam, Patriots.
No one wants to pick the fucking Patriots.
Yeah, nobody, exactly.
It's not fun, it's not sexy, it's not a talking point. It's an old story. Look, greatest team in the history of the NFL. If you think about it, the NFL has been going on for 100 years, and the Patriots have been dominating it for the last 20. That's a fifth of its fucking lifetime. No one wants to pick the Patriots. Sorry, Ray. Go ahead.
No, you're good, man. You're good. So the Chiefs are going to go to the Super Bowl. Ah, oh, that was fucking tough. So then in the NFC, part of me wanted to go with you, guy, with the Falcons, right? But my closest friend is a diehard
Falcons. How'd that work last year?
Yep, exactly. My closest friend's a diehard Falcons fan.
Hey, shout him out. Aren't you at his house?
Yeah, I'm actually at his house right now, waiting out this hurricane. Yeah, Corey Sullivan, diehard Falcons fan. He actually knows football very well, but
from the Flock NFL group.
Yep, Flock NFL group. He just bleeds football, so usually when he talks in the group, he's just gonna say Falcon and everything. How he is, he says go Falcons every time he says bye. So I don't want to jinx them because last year they're horrible. I picked them to the Super Bowl, so I'm gonna go with the Eagles this year. I just think that
don't you fucking bring that juju on me, Ricky. Sorry, Bobby.
I think that's the best roster in the NFC. I think Carson Wentz is going to be on a mission. All the doubters are going to stay healthy. And I think the Eagles are going to win the Super Bowl this year. I think Carson Wentz is going to prove that he could have won the Super Bowl the year when Nick Foles did. And, yeah, there you go, Matt.
See, and you know what, all the flockers out there listening right now, this is how you know we go over show notes. We go over what topics we're going to talk about, but we do not go over our takes. Well, not really takes. It's an opinions. We're not fucking firing off takes and arguing left and right. This is for the fan, by the fan. We're bullshitting and having a good time because that's the kind of stuff I like to listen to. But I sure as shit would not pick an identical Super Bowl matchup to Ray Stone, who picked the Falcons-Jaguars last year, had I known going in. Last year, I thought about the narratives, and I picked the best narrative Super Bowl, the La La Super Bowl, L.A. versus L.A. You know what? I was kind of half right, and the other team, you know, they made the Final Four in their division, so I don't feel bad about that one. But this time I'm going with my heart, ladies and gentlemen. I think the Eagles have the best roster in the NFL. They do. They fucking no better offensive line, no better defensive line, above-average receivers, solid running back, excellent tight end. Great safety, could be better at corner. They did really good with that Preston Smith signing at linebacker from the Skins. That one fucking hurt my boy Jason's mouth. So I'm going with them. And you know what? I want to see fat man Andy Reid make a Super Bowl again to lose it to the Philadelphia Eagles. I just think he deserves it. Guy, I know you said you didn't pick the Chiefs because of coaching, but have you seen Bill O'Brien coach and GM? Because he's pretty fucking bad at the GM part, and he's only average at coaching. And Freddie Kitchens, it's his first time.
I agree. I mean, I definitely see your argument. I'm just going with the hot hand. I think that offense is think that offense is really going to take the NFL by storm. It's just a gut feeling. I really have nothing to base that on.
Hey, that's fine. I like it.
I just really think that's how it's going to go. So who's your winner?
Fly, Eagles, fly.
Okay.
I can't pick them to go to the Super Bowl and not pick them to win. Hey, I didn't pick them to win last year.
He didn't.
Don't come at me with a homer pick. I picked the right NFC team last year. So this is just who I really think has the best roster in the league.
To be honest, I think the Bears have a chance, but I'm not putting that juju on them.
I understand. I'm putting my juju on them because I was right last year. So, all right, speed round, boys. Quick, easy, 5 seconds each. This did not fit into our awards section, so this is going to be what happens first. Ray, Guy, you guys ready?
Yep.
Do it.
All right, what happens first? Gronk comes out of retirement or a Patriots sex or drug scandal? Ray.
Patriots sex or drug scandal. How do you think that that little white guy made the team?
There you go. Guy.
Easy. Patriots sex or drug scandal. Josh Gordon reinstated, but for how long?
Ooh, I am also going with Patriots sex or drug scandal, but I'm going with former Patriot. I think Gronk is actually the one who has a sex or drug scandal.
Hmm.
All right, next topic. Cam Newton starts dressing like a man, or Zeke Elliott stops wearing midriffs?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, dude.
Neither.
Can we push?
Gosh, that's an easy push.
You know what? Cam Newton, I'll say Cam Newton because he eventually is going to go out of whatever style he's following, where the midriff, that's just going to be his whole career.
What I was going to say was Cam Newton because he already knows that Ron Rivera benches ass for his wardrobe.
You know what? I'm going the opposite. I think Zeke Elliott just signed the largest contract in the NFL for running back of all time. Longest, largest, most money, most guaranteed money, most new money per year. But Cowboys fans are still out there saying Jerry Jones got him a great deal. I think Zeke Elliott can finally afford a full shirt. I think that was his problem. I think he now has the money to do it.
I just think Ewoks don't wear shirts.
All right, holy shit, a serious question for a second. Melvin Gordon gets traded or he ends his holdout? Ray.
I'm going to say traded because I think it's more than just the deal that he's holding out. The owner isn't very well liked. And I just don't see them giving him that money, and I don't see them just sitting around with him all season long. I see by trade deadline, Melvin Gordon's in a different team.
Ends holdout by week four when they realize that they don't have a running back and they really need one to help out Phillip Rivers.
I'm going to go with ends holdout because as we saw in the Flock NFL Facebook group today, they were asking for like a first round draft pick for him and something else. He's 26 years old. He's making $10 million. Who in their right mind would give out a first-round draft pick? The only trade offer they received was a swap of third-rounders and Jordan Howard. If that's the best trade offer they're going to get for him, they ain't going to trade his ass. I don't see it happening.
Howard's an upgrade over both backs they have.
He is. Look. Howard's not great, but Howard still churned out.
He's adequate. He's competent.
He's adequate. Close to 1,000 yards last year and six TDs, give or take, guy.
Yeah, and don't forget, I mean, he's not that far removed from a 1,200-yard rookie season.
Offensive probably 25 catches or something.
I'd be careful writing him off completely yet.
Hey, this Eagles fan hasn't won in a Super Bowl, so I have not written him off. All right, speaking of Super Bowl, next one. Andy Reid finally wins a Super Bowl? Where Bill Belichick retires. Ray.
I think Bill Belichick retires before Andy Reid wins the Super Bowl because as long as Andy Reid's on the Chiefs, they will not win a Super Bowl. Chiefs don't know how to win in the playoffs. Just look at the Tennessee Titans game a couple seasons ago.
It's the Chiefs. Andy Reid, I'm going against you guys as it is. Andy Reid's got to get to a Super Bowl to win a Super Bowl. Bill Belichick retires first.
I don't think Andy ever reads one. I just don't think he wins one, and it makes me sad because I'd like to see it happen for him.
Don't cry. Don't cry.
No, you know what? If I was drinking heavy tonight, I probably would, but I'm not. So I'm going to keep it together. All right. And our last question on what will happen first. Guy Weaver, I came up with this question specifically for you.
Oh, no.
You sound so amused.
Will a Bears kicker finally make a field goal in the playoffs? Or will Carly Lloyd make one in the regular season?
Carly Lloyd will make a field goal before the Bears make a postseason field goal.
Yep, that's the question.
The reason being, Matt Nagy has PTSD. We don't see it yet. It's not one of those that you actually see, but you will in the fourth quarter of a playoff game, down by three, fourth and one, and he decides to go for it and run David Montgomery up the middle. And I completely support it because I have PTSD with him. I will be his buddy. We'll get through together.
I was expecting you to actually say that they will do nothing but score touchdowns in the postseason.
That's
I was
I
ready for that
say.
One.
Yeah, I was ready for that.
Thank you for not going predictable. Ray, what do you have?
I don't think the Bears make the playoffs this year, and I'm not saying it's
pathetic.
Highly likely, but Carly Lloyd, I think the NFL is trying to win over female fans. Especially all this domestic violence stuff that continues to go on. So I see Carly Lloyd being on a team week one next season. I think it'd be a pretty cool story.
You know what? To all the – we've had a lot of flock
so
much.
A lot
about
of talk.
This lately. And some of it's kind of been like good and good conversation. And some of it's kind of come off – bless you. Some of it's kind of come off pretty fucking sexist, to be honest.
Absolutely.
And it's just rough. Oh, how much can she tackle? She's good at tackling or not. When is the last time you saw Adam Vinatieri make a fucking tackle in the NFL? He's arguably the best kicker of all time. That motherfucker ain't out there tackling. He's fine.
This
whole argument about how she's going to get broken if she gets hit. Everybody forgets that she is a world champion athlete. I don't care that it's soccer. You think that her body is not trained to be able to absorb a hit in pads, I think you're an idiot. Sorry
you know what?
If that offended somebody, but I think you're an idiot.
I'm going to give a shout-out, and I'm not demasculating him because he's the man, and he's top 10 yards all-time in the NFL. I think he's around number 6 right now. But he can't tell me she's not bigger than Darren Sproles.
Oh, DeSean Jackson is tiny.
Yeah, you ever see Deion Sanders make a tackle? You really want to talk about a kicker who can't tackle? What about Deion fucking Sanders? He's one of the best corners of all time.
Well, shoot, Trindon Holiday, the kick returner for Denver for a while, was like a buck 60 soaking wet, like 5'8". So it's not like we got these huge players in the NFL that are just going to kill her.
Yeah. So, all right, I think we all went Carly Lloyd. That's kind of a nice note to end on. But we do have our favorite part of the pod coming up. Bar talk, but before we get to that, Ray, can you do me a favor? Plug where our listeners can download us, listen to us, check us out on the Facebook group?
Okay, yeah, you can check us out at the Flock NFL Facebook page. You can also follow us at the Mother Flocking Football on Twitter. You can listen to us, download us on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, all the major podcast platforms. You can find us on there. So please like, rate us, give us stars, give us 5, or if you think we suck, give us 1. We don't want you
fuck
to give
that.
Us 5.
No, fuck you. Just give us a 5 anyways.
And
guy will
what?
Give
you
a handy on the side.
And you don't even have to listen. Just download. Set there it like go. An automatic download, and there you go.
Pretend like you're a man.
Listen to the damn podcast, people.
Listen to the damn podcast, but if not, download and pretend you're a man coming home after a long day of work. And the wife was at home with the kids all day. And do what Guy Weaver and I do. And just pretend to listen. It's okay. It works sometimes. All right. So Bar Talk and my 2 podcast co-hosts tonight do not know the topic in advance. But that's half the fun of it. Let me pour myself a 4 Roses limited edition right now. Tonight. Here we go. Who is the worst type of person in the fantasy leagues you're in? I mean, is it the auto drafter? Is it the guy who never really signs up for the league but bitches about the draft? For me, and I'll go first to give you guys a moment to think, my least favorite is the shady commissioner. We've all encountered them in our fantasy lives before. We all play fantasy football. Oh, I'm fucking getting there because I'm on the phone, too, with one of them. You have that shady commissioner who vetoes trades a little bit, who comes up with running back limits so you can't carry more than four or five running backs on a team because his team doesn't have enough good ones and he wants them on the waiver wire. Or I'm – guy, we're in three fantasy leagues together, right?
Yeah.
We got yours, we got Ray's, and we got the Fishhawk one.
Just a disclaimer, Flock, when he was talking about Shady Commish, he was not talking about this when he's talking about Ray Stone, just so everybody's clear. Go on. Proceed.
You're in such a dickhead.
I am a dickhead. Go fuck yourself. I'm still mad.
How are you mad?
Let me finish. Bro. Let me finish, Kanye. Let me finish. In all three fantasy leagues I'm in, the Commish decided to do the draft order before the draft. And in the one, shockingly, the commission, his best friend, got the first overall and second overall draft pick. In the other one, and he filmed drawing names out of hat. Do you know how many times he fucking filmed it? Because I sure as shit don't. Do you know how good those paper balls were shredded up in there? I don't trust that shit. Let a computer do it. Guy did the right thing. He let Yahoo decide. That's our draft true. Order.
He said, I let Yahoo decide.
That's not true.
You still got the first pick, but I felt that you let the computer do it, so it was fair.
The way that – I was going to say, I'm going to interject. The way that I did it was I did it through a randomizer, but the randomizer sends – I have it set up to where it sends everybody in the league the email the moment I randomize. Meaning correct. I could have done it 300 times all I wanted. But the only one that was going to be official was the one that I sent to everybody, which got sent when I hit randomize, meaning I couldn't
fluff. He couldn't cheat. To him afterwards. We'd get 300 emails. Ray Stone did a stupid randomizer for online and videotaped it.
And then didn't even use it.
And didn't even fucking use it. He just gave himself the first pick and his wife the last pick.
No, because you didn't fucking listen to shit. So, nope, stop cutting you off. So, I didn't pick shit. I don't know how to use Yahoo. I use fucking Yahoo.
You don't know how to use fucking Yahoo?
I've never.
What are you, 12?
No, I've never done Yahoo, like been a commissioner with Yahoo. It's always been ESPN. So I didn't know you had to hit the. So first off, my wife didn't sign up to an hour before the draft. So
you can't read. Got it.
So I tried to hurry up and I did the randomizer. I videotaped it to show everybody and then to show everybody the picks. And I went to input it. It wouldn't let me do it, right? And I couldn't figure out why it wouldn't let me do it. And then it was an hour up to the draft. It wouldn't let me do anything. So then Yahoo just set it up. And now I guess all Yahoo did is the first people that signed up in the league got it went in that order. I was the first one that signed up because I created it. My wife was the last one because she did it last minute. So that is why it was set up that way. I didn't do anything. I didn't cheat. So fuck off. All
right, Ray, let's stick to the topic, though. What's your least favorite type of fantasy owner?
You. That's what it is. My least favorite fantasy owner is the guy who constantly picks up and adds players nonstop every week. Because I've done leagues with this.
So you hate active owners. Shady commissions.
I make waiver moves every week.
I do too.
There's a difference between somebody picking them up and then using them or having them on a team. I've had people that will pick up four people, like four guys, and then he cuts them a day later, and then they go on the waiver wire and you have to wait for the next week to use them.
Gotcha. So what you hate is you're facing someone and you need defense because your Broncos are on bye week and they're facing you, so they pick up every available defense and drop them so they're on waivers.
No, it's not even that. That's game plan. I'm fine with that.
No, that's fucking shady.
No,
you're
I hate
shady
people.
Commish. That's why you're fine with that.
Oh my God, no! I just hate the people that are indecisive and can't make a damn decision. And I also hate the people that sit there and make 1,000 horrible trade offers and then get pissed off when you decline it. When they try to offer you like a decent, you know, third three running back for a fucking
receiver. I still haven't even touched the worst owner. The worst owner is the arrogant prick who thinks that he knows so much more about the game and fantasy football than you do. And come to find out, he's sitting there paying a bunch of money for a bunch of different apps with experts that's telling him exactly what waiver moves to make, what cuts to make, what drafts to make, what draft picks to make, and everything else, while sitting there arrogant as hell, offering you 10-to-1 odds because you suck so bad you can't win the league, loses them by the way, loses them to somebody in this podcast, and turns around and still has the same damn arrogance, all while, like I said, using apps that he buys to get.
Basically, I know he's not in the Flock group and he won't hear this podcast, but Drew Potter, you motherfucker, you bet me 10-to-1 last year. Thank you for the $1,000. Sorry you never got my 100.
He's getting it from me. I'm taking it from him this year.
Hey, double off that bet, man. Go for it. And you know what? My other least favorite, and I'm going to call out two flockers in this one, Matt Catalato, your cocky ass. And you know what? David Wilder, my little Jewish brother from another mother that my mother would have given, my Catholic mother would have given up for adoption. Set a fucking lineup. Dear God. Don't have a guy on injured reserve or the DL, if it's baseball, David. Start every game for you during the season. Let people on the bye weeks, people not starting that week, start on your roster. Just have some respect and set your lineup. That's all I'm saying.
Matt, you are kind of bad, though. Like, you're the diva. Like, we think you're, like
let's you are the diva.
What, like, break down the categories of the fantasy footballers. And one of them that I'm going to first mention is the diva, the guy who you're trying to set up the draft order. Now, mind you, you've got 10 to 12 people to coordinate. And there's always that one guy that, I'm sorry, but Saturday at 5 doesn't work for me. It has to be Tuesday at 4:35 p.m. or I can't do it.
Well, who the fuck picks a Saturday night to draft? Dear God, we have lives, people.
You're right, but I mean, you know, normal people work during the week, so it's not exactly the easiest to have a drunken party where people pass out on your couch on a weekday.
I give you that. That's fair. My pet peeve is the commissioner who wants to do everything through group fucking text, so you get probably 300 text messages in 3 days about when the draft is. And
who does that?
You're welcome.
Yeah. Or people will just ask in there, hey, how many bench spots do we have? You know, there's a fucking app for that and you can look. Just throwing that out there.
I do the damn text because I've made groups on Facebook and nobody looks at it. And not everybody in the league has a Facebook. So
I use so it's kind of like, so it's kind of like, so it's kind of like your birthday party event you set up on Facebook. No one looked.
He's
such a diva.
Just hit the hide notifications, man.
Can't. Gotta look.
And also, just to let everybody know, we had a hurricane coming through, so the draft's supposed to be tonight. And I was like, well, the hurricane's supposed to be coming through Wednesday. The hurricane's slow anyway. So I moved it to Monday so everybody could draft.
And then moved
trying
it again.
To do it last minute. So I was trying to be polite. It just didn't work out as well as I hoped.
You were, and I appreciate that. And if we have any listeners still actually listening at this point, I absolutely appreciate it. So, all right, you can always find us on the Flock NFL Facebook group, best podcast on that group, constantly engaging with the fans. We have the Mother Flocking Football Podcast Survivor Pool out there right now. You can win over $500 worth of samples of bourbon. Ray Ray, you got anything else for us to plug?
This isn't Ray Ray. This is Corey Sullivan, Flock member. I figured I'd use you guys' platform. May I have about 30 seconds?
This is fucking awesome. Go for it.
Here we go. All right. So here's the thing. I appreciate what you guys saying. I appreciate your takes. I appreciate how down to earth you guys are. But you're missing the big points, baby. You're missing the big points. Here's the simple point. You guys betting folks or no?
Yes.
If you want to retire, you take your net worth. You take the stroll down there to Nevada. You walk into any of the houses. It doesn't matter.
Caesar's
you take
Palace.
That bundle. You put it on the desk and you say, Falcons win the Super Bowl. But here's the kicker. That's not what retires you. What retires you, it's a parlay. It's a parlay with a 19-0 season. And here's the thing. When we think about it, all right? Now let's talk reasonably for a moment. When we think about the Atlanta Falcons, position to position, You can't argue against them. Our wide receiver corps is number one in the league. Our quarterback, the Hall of Famer, I won't hear anything else. Our defense is full of young studs, and we are prepared to win. The only question mark, it's not really a question mark. It's like if everyone got an A-plus on a test, and you got an A. Well, we're adults, and we know that A-pluses don't actually matter, so A's are just as good. Our A defense, okay, is full of young studs that is going to sweep this league here. So I'm not telling anyone what to do. But in about, what's it going to be, 22 weeks when everything I'm saying comes to life, you guys are going to wish you had an opportunity. It's like Bitcoin when it was 0.001 cents. I'm putting y'all in on the truth. And I figured I'd take a moment, talk to my fellow Flockers, and say, you're welcome. So with that being said, you guys agree?
Hey, Guy, can we fire Ray and get this guy in full time?
You don't want to fire Ray. You don't need to fire Ray because Ray is essential. The only thing you guys are missing is truth.
It's like Corey Sullivan with a heater.
With the heater. And I would call this a hot take, but it's cool, baby. It's cool as the other side of the pillow, and it's a lock, and it's a winner. So my fellow Flockers, it's a Guy, Ray, and Matt, right?
Matt. Yeah.
Guy,
thanks.
Ray, and Matt.
Thanks. Fuck you too.
I appreciate the show. I like the show. I appreciate the negative words, but you will say fuck you now. But you will say thank you when you retire. You're welcome. That being said, appreciate y'all's time. Put the money on the Falcons. And by the way, if you do a fantasy draft, all Falcons. Key to victory. That was biased. I was wrong for that. I was on that one.
That's fine. So I like it.
And appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Oh, man.
Guy, can you follow that?
Here's Ray.
Great job. Bravo.
Nope. We're done on that. We're done on that. I'm sorry. We cannot follow the wise words of my new best friend. And honestly, I might have to have a third marriage so I can have another best man. And it's going to be Corey fucking Sullivan, one, the only legit Falcons fan. Flockers, thank you so much for listening tonight. Ray, say goodnight.
Later, Flockers.
Weaver.
Good night, people.
Peace out, motherfuckers!